I really understand this guy. He was hiding. He was hiding. And he was scared. And he was the least important. He was a little farmer boy from the least of the tribes, from the least of the people. And what does God call him? Does anyone know what God calls him? He's sitting in there hiding. And God says, "You mighty warrior." I think the way I see myself is a lot different to how God sees me irregularly. I see myself as a Mallee Farm boy. Like Anthony, I was scared to get up and speak in front of a church. I didn't do my year 12 top-level English because you had to get up in front of people and speak. But do you know what God says? He says, "You're a mighty warrior." He says it to you today. He says, "You're not this bad person." And why? Why is it that you're a mighty warrior? It's because God says, "I am with you. I am with you." So I started looking at that, and we haven't got any slides up yet. Okay. Okay, so this is our family. As I said, I am a farm boy that's gone out to Mozambique. I was scared to speak in front of churches, but like Gideon, God has called me, and he says that I am with you, and he says the same to you guys. This is our family, who you can see are not necessarily standard. Maybe we haven't got pink hair like Anthony, but we're not scared to go that way, and you'll see that later. This year has been confusing for us, because this doesn't really show it, but when COVID started, it was just getting going, and we didn't think it was going to be as big as it is. But this little girl was sick, and we thought, if COVID's going to hit where we are, and we've got a little sick girl that just had been sick the whole time we'd been back in Africa, and we didn't know what was happening, and we just thought, we need to get her checked out by a proper doctor, because we tried and tried, and she just wasn't getting better. And so we decided we would go down to South Africa right at the beginning of COVID. Liam was in school. Liam was in school in Kenya. And we thought, we can go down to South Africa, get her fixed up, hopefully. We had 10 days, and then we'll fly back and we'll pick up Liam and we'll go back into Mozambique. But that's not what happened. In fact, everything was stolen away from us. We ended up being locked down in South Africa for 4 months, in that lockdown that I was telling you about. While we were there, Liam managed to get back to Mozambique, so he got back with his friends in Mozambique. We're down there with Ayana. Thankfully, when the lockdown kind of had just begun, we found out what was wrong with Ayana, so that's a real praise point. She had a bug in her system, a parasite called Bilharzia, and we managed to kill, but we would have never found that out back up in Mozambique. So we were just happy to get that done, but we were locked away from Liam. And it just felt like things were being taken from us. And I just thought of the story of Gideon. And did you know exactly how many people he originally called? This scared little warrior, he called, and 32,000 people came. 32,000 came, and they were fighting against, I've forgotten the exact number, but it ended up being that 32,000 would mean 1 to 4 of every one of them. So if you're fighting, 1 to 4. I don't think those odds are that good. If I'm fighting against 4 guys, I want them to be really little people. But but these were farmers fighting against soldiers. And God said, "Nah, that's too many." And so he, what was the original test? Anyone that's scared, anyone that doesn't want these odds, 1 to 4 can go home. 22,000 went, more than half went, leaving 10,000, which is a ratio now of approximately 1 to 13. So one person has to fight 13. God said, "No, you're going to claim credit yourselves. You're going to claim that you're the best here." He said, "No, let's go down and let's see who drinks like dogs from the river." That's basically what he said. He said, "Let's find the ones that are the least couth, the least likely. And let's go down there and let's find those." 300 men left. 300 basically are there just to show that God is with you, that it's God that's done the work, it's not you. So it ends up, odds are more like 1 to 400. One person to 400. Impossible, hey? Yeah. What is impossible for us is possible for God. Remember that with all the battles we've got. Remember it with the battles of all the battles we've got, that it's not us. The odds can look impossible, but God is in it. For us, the situation was the same. One, we had a sick child, which thankfully we managed to get well. Two, we were locked away from Liam. Three, we missed our daughter's wedding in lockdown. And we were feeling like we were missing everything. This was how we viewed our daughter's wedding. It was just feeling like things weren't meant to be working, weren't working right. It felt like everything had been taken away, like Gideon with his soldiers. And then back in Mozambique, this guy here I've spoken about before, he was our most trusted worker for many years. And he was an evangelist. And he shared the gospel powerfully. But the pride had crept into his life. Tanya could see it. I'm blind to things spiritually. I just see things and I see how I want to see them sometimes. But pride had crept into his life, and then he'd started sleeping with women from the church and from out in the village. And he's a married man, and he'd actually been forgiven for it once, and then he went back and he just continued doing it. And he did show no forgiveness. And I'm back, still locked down in South Africa, and I found this out, that my most trusted guy was no longer going to be able to be used in our ministry. I think sometimes God... What was Gideon's first ministry, a mission? Do you know? Does anyone know? The first thing he did was, he was so brave, Gideon, like me a little bit, he was so brave he went and knocked down the idols of his father. He knocked down the idols of his father at night time, so no one would see him. But I think it's the same. What we have to do, if we're really wanting God to work, is not knock down the idols in our own lives. We have to get rid of the sin that entangles us. And that's what was entangling the people of Israel. It was this worship of idols. So as much as it hurt, and I just felt like we couldn't do anything without Cash Cow, I actually had left so much to Cash Cow and trusted him so much. And I was just thinking, like, we can't do anything when we get back to Mozambique. Everything's locked down anyway. I don't know what we can possibly do. And then we're in Mozambique still. I mean, South Africa still. And our computers and everything were robbed. Which we're thankful that you guys gave a gift offering, but we'll get back to that later. So we're sitting there. The house broken into. Our computers were robbed. All my materials, all my foundations for farming materials that I use, were on these computers. I was updating them, I was refreshing them, and they took all my little hard drives and little sticks as well. I just wasn't expecting it. So everything had been stolen. I was reduced to 100 to 4. And eventually, we got the opportunity to get back to Mozambique, and this was the lineup going to the border. It seemed impossible to even get through this border, but God opened up a door and we were able to drive past all these people because we had a minivan that just dropped us at the border, and we were able to go straight through. And we were meant to carry our bags for 1 kilometre on the other side, but even God opened up. Yep, 10. So trying to carry Ayana and Zahara and 2 suitcases either side. And it was crazy. We were meant to go 1 kilometre, but God even opened up a door and allowed a car to come through, which never is allowed to happen. So we got back to Mozambique, but everything was still locked down. So we're thinking, it's still impossible. What do we do? So we just did what we could do, and we set up our vegetable patch and had some good family time, because back in that picture, you can see Liam's even there working with us. So we were back to Liam. We were praising God. But we were saying, like, what are we meant to do? We can do this kind of stuff. We can work on our garden. We can work on our farm out there. See, the garden, farm, the compost. We could do all these kind of work. And we could have workers, but we weren't allowed to go out close to them. We weren't allowed to go out into the village. So we were able to do building work. I wasn't allowed to go very close to these people, but we were allowed to continue our building. So we just kept on building towards what we weren't sure of, an uncertain hope. And we got these buildings all done. We did the farm, and we're still praying for opportunities. Now, look on the bottom of this warning. There is a graphic photo next. So anyone that doesn't like a little bit of blood, turn away, okay? I won't show it long. But this is a little girl, and that's her arm. I won't show it for long, as I said, in case people are just looking away. She'd burnt herself. She'd fallen into a fire, burnt her arms, her legs in the fire, and she was one of our workers, little girls, and they'd gone to the hospital, come back. The hospital did nothing. And they came back, and she went to the witch doctor. The parents went to the witch doctor for healing. And the witch doctor had put tree gum sap on the arm to stick on the rabbit fur that was to seal in the wound. And the little girl got sicker and sicker and sicker. And when she actually came to us, she was so sick, she was so weak because she was so infected that her parents thought she would die. And they brought her to us, and normally we would be trying to pass them off to the hospital or something again, but we just thought, no, this is an opportunity God's opened up. So we had aloe vera, we called our medical help, and Tanya and our house help would pray for the little girl every day, twice a day. She would come and they would fix the wound, and there it's actually wrapped up with toilet paper because toilet paper breaks off easy and it's what we could use. And aloe vera underneath because we've got aloe vera plants. So we did this, she did this every day, and God healed the little girl. And the mother said, I just believe God did this work. It was actually God that did the healing, and I can see it was God's work through it. And the mother wanted to come and start learning about God and through the Bible study, and then she said, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. I now believe in Jesus. I believe that God healed my son, my daughter, and I just want to be baptized. So we did a COVID kind of friendly funeral. Baptism. They don't do COVID family funerals in Africa, I can tell you that. They get told to restrict the numbers, and it doesn't happen. So, but we're still praying for opportunities and unsure what we're meant to do other than this. We've started the Bible study in our place where people, mainly our workers, would come, and we were sharing, but we really wanted to still be able to go out and do our main ministry, but we were restricted, and as I said, cash cow had caused problems, and then I was particularly praying that we were meant to be training more people this year. We were meant to be training more people to do Foundations for Farming teaching. And I was particularly praying for one guy who I actually shared about last time I was home, who became a believer in prison. This is Jacinto. And I was particularly praying for him and thinking he would be good if he would want to do it. But he lives the other side of Lashinga and out. And I just thought, I don't know how that could work. But one day he rings me up and he says, Andrew, I want to learn Foundations for Farming. I want to be able to teach it. This guy here has been sharing the gospel with, like, literally hundreds of people have become believers through his ministry. And he says to me, I want to be able to share Foundations for Farming with these people because they're understanding the gospel, they're believing, but they don't know how to live it. And I want to be able to go out and teach it by myself. And I want you to teach me how to teach it. And I just thought, God, you're answering prayers. From that point, we had a number of others. So that's Jacinto in his own village. And we had a number of others, including our first woman trainer, who I've also talked about before in the past. Her name's Alegria, here teaching on giving. She's a person that went from inheriting a farm that was underproducing, was producing next to nothing, 3 bags if on a good year. She was producing, that farm was producing. She inherited it and went up to that she's producing way more than 30 bags now, 36. But even in her first year, she produced 30. She gave 3 back to the church. So someone that's qualified to give, and that's just what she gave to the church. So she gives a lot more personally as well. So here she is teaching on giving. So our first woman teacher. We also had a pastor from another guy come join. Actually, from the same church as Kashkau, he kind of took over Kashkau's ministry there. And then Silver, who we've had for years with us, and his wife actually joined our ministry, and she would worship and share as much as she could, but she would also be humble and prepare the food. So she helped us with that. We ended up, from not being able to teach a course, God opened the doors. I actually had a missionary call me from a village 90 kilometres the other side of Mozambique where God's been moving. Lots of people have become believers, and he believes that our ministry is there to support his, basically. And I tend to agree with him that we can come in after him, after the evangelism, and teach people how to live a Christian life and teach them how to farm, which 99% of these people are. So he called us and said, can you come here and teach a course? And I said, I can't get permission to teach a course. There's no way I can teach a course. And he said, I'm going to go to the government officials and I'm going to get you work out what we need to do and we're going to get you permission. He's a Mozambican missionary, so he managed to get through to the government officials, talked to them and said, okay, we need to meet 5 requirements and then you can do a course here. We have to do social distancing, wear masks, which neither were done very well, as you can see by this. You had to walk in through a pan of disinfectant and you had to have temperature and tests. But we were able to run a course. So the course we ran out there with that missionary had 50 people, mainly new believers, and we were able to teach the gospel. And during that course, we also had government officials who were coming maybe just to check out what we were teaching, but also to make sure we were abiding by the requirements, but they didn't abide by them either, so I'm not sure what they were really doing there. But in the end, we had 5 new people become believers in that course, including one Muslim leader. And he said to me afterwards, he said, I've actually known that Jesus is the truth for a while. I've heard it from Pedro, but I just knew now was the time of my salvation. I knew that I couldn't leave here and not accept Jesus into my life. This is a Muslim leader. He said, I knew the truth, but I just wasn't following. So in that one course alone, we had 5, and most of the people in the course were already Christians. So we had 5 new believers and over 50 people came to the course. And we were able to end up teaching in 5 courses around the villages. God used these new people. In some ways, I just gave them more freedom. I don't think I was deliberately holding back, but I was doing more teaching myself as well. So I would think, okay, we should be able to teach this better, and I would teach a section, and then the next village, they would teach it, someone else would teach it, and you could hear them, they'd just learnt and they'd grow, and then we would talk about it on the way there and on the way back to the villages, and we were discipling them the whole time, thanks. And we also got to teach in the Bible College. Here we are. These are a bunch of people that have accepted Christ and want to be the leaders of these new churches that are emerging. And they volunteered to come to our course here. They weren't forced to come. It wasn't part of their course makeup, but they came because they wanted to be able to go out, some of them, into the villages, provide for themselves, and to teach others at the same time. So they were all there learning, and it was encouraging to know that some of these could be the leaders of Foundations for Farming in the future. I'll just skip past that one. Just some shots of us feeding the people. And this car was the biggest, was a really big blessing as well this year. We've only just got it. But these new trainers, we would go out and back in this car. They would actually stay the night, a lot of them. I wouldn't because of, I wanted to be back with my wife because of safety reasons, partially because, just leaving her doesn't feel safe at the moment after all our break-ins and stuff. So I would go out, they would stay the night, watch Jesus films, and they said they had some of the best times of testimony at night when I was gone. Maybe it was because I was gone, but anyway, they had a great time, but also going out and back in this car, it was just a real time that we could just hear what God was doing, and they were just saying, we can just feel the Holy Spirit is moving. It's been my best year of teaching. From a year that I thought we were gone, Kashkar was gone, my family problems, being locked down, having COVID restrictions, to end up being a year where we just felt the Holy Spirit moving in a way that he hadn't. And like knocking the candles. So 5 courses, things seemed to be going okay. We had Christmas. Now, why would I show a Christmas shot? We were already booked our tickets to go home at the end of January, so we could be there to celebrate Talia's wedding, which is coming up in 3 weeks, and be back for a grandchild, which has happened a couple of weeks ago. But anyway, so we celebrated Christmas with some of our best friends. These are were the leaders of YWAM. These are the leaders of YWAM. This is a missionary kid that's been around for years and now does Christian business, and his wife here. But the reason I'm showing you this is because he ended up with COVID. He was meant to be heading down to South Africa the next day. He'd already taken the test at this stage, but he didn't have the results back. Came and celebrated Christmas with us, no sickness or anything. We've had Christmas with this guy. This is the back of our house. We've probably broken a lot of rules because we gave hugs and stuff to our friends, and they were going the next day. And we just thought, oh, we've all got COVID. So we all had to go in for tests. We tried to get tests as a family twice and were unsuccessful because we come from the village and we go in there and then they don't test you. So eventually I went to another village and got tested, never got the results back. But the others that were at this event got tested and all tested negative. So we were told we have to shut down from that point on. So we were back to not being able to teach. My workers were able to go out and do ministry with the people and take them seed and make sure everything was okay. But we were back just locked down again. So I didn't even count that lockdown at the start. So we were locked down in our house. But we were able to still do our Bible study with our group and do village ministry. This is one of the old ladies that we've helped before in the past. There was a couple of these that we've helped. And we've just given to them because they don't have much family or any family that actually loves and cares for them. So we've tried to locate some of these people in the village. And there's another one in this picture here, another old lady, and we tried to help her. She couldn't walk, she can't see very well. But we'd helped her once before. We'd given her food lots of times, and had our workers take around food to her. But we'd also put a roof on her house. And that little hut that she was in, we just put a plastic roof over it, and then her family stole it. The family that are around her, they stole the house, and so we had to do it all again for her in a different spot with guarantees that they wouldn't steal the house. But they just didn't love her, but because of the love that she said she felt, she wanted to come to Bible study. She came to Bible study, and then she said, I want to believe in Jesus too. I want to follow Jesus. And this old lady... Here we are baptizing her in a pool. The waters are running by this stage in the rivers, and we said she was willing to get into those dirty waters, but she was so thankful that she could actually be baptized in this pool, which is a leaky old pool. You can see the patches around the edges. My mum and dad bought us for it when we were first out in Africa, and it doesn't really hold water either. It's just leaking out everywhere, but we baptized her in this pool, and she was just so praising God. And this is basically the Bible study group with some of our workers, and they were there to celebrate her baptism. What is that picture? The other thing that's happened through our Bible study is this guy here, he's been our hardest worker. When we were actually home 2 times ago, if not 3, our next-door neighbour employed him because we needed another worker. And he employed him, and I've just found him so hard. He's been one of those guys that he will come and he'll do all the right things. He never asks for a loan, which is very rare, none of the other workers. He's got a certain sense of pride, and he's got 2 wives and a number of children, and definitely Muslim. And we've been just sharing and sharing and sharing. He comes to Bible study, and we just thought, yeah. But we could see that he was softening. We could see that the word was breaking through into his life. And we just kept praying for Asani. And it came to the point, and he started saying, this is the only place that we can sit around in our whole village and really talk about things of God. We can talk about things of God. And then after a while, he said, I now believe. I believe and I want to be baptized. And the others heard this, some of the others. So we've got a little Anglican church of a few people in our village, and we've got a little Southern Baptist church of a few people in our village. Now, they heard that this guy wants to be baptized, and they came to me and they said, what are we going to do? He's got two wives. What are we going to do? And so I instantly took them to Corinthians and to the passage. But do you know what? That didn't speak to them very much. What happened was in our Bible study, the next week, when we met together, we actually met about the house of Cornelius and how God accepted these Gentiles, these terrible Gentiles, and what was I going to do about it? What was Paul, what was Peter going to do? When God is accepted, what are we going to say? This is what spoke to the people there. They said, I actually just said to them, what are you thinking? God has accepted, but you can see in his life that his life has changed. What are we going to do? God has accepted, are you? And they said, yes, we will accept him. So maybe not into leadership, but so that's the story of Asani. There's complicated things that we're dealing with. And then we started heading back. We tried to do COVID tests, the impossible task of getting back here from Mozambique. We tried to do COVID tests in our home city. We need COVID tests with 72-hour results. And we got into the city. We said, can we get our results back? And they said, yes, in 8 days. So we said, what do we do then? So we got in the car and we drove to where our tickets were eventually booked from. We didn't want to change them from another city over at the coast. We got over there and they said, yes, you'll get your results back in 3 days. And we go, yeah, praise God. It came to the third day and we're flying that day from that city down to the capital of Mozambique. And I go to them, I said, where are the results? No, we haven't got them. But they managed to call the airline company and said, we'll get you on the first plane because you don't need a test for that one. So we'll get you on the first plane. We'll let them know. We got on that first plane and we found out that the results are down there, that the testing lab is down in Maputo. So we're down in Maputo. We got there and they said, you'll definitely get the results. I went straight to the lab as soon as I got to Maputo. They said, oh, we'll have them to you tomorrow. We're flying first thing tomorrow morning. I said, we have to have them today. And they said, oh, come back later. Come back this afternoon. And so I left and I came back in the afternoon. They said, no, it won't be ready until tomorrow. I said, no, that's not going to work. So I rang my doctor, the doctor that actually took arranged the tests, which God had provided his number for us. And so we rang them and they talked to the clinic and the clinic's were still playing hardball, and I think they wanted a bribe. But I just talked to this doctor, and I said, like, I paid enough money for these tests, and you promised that I'd get them back. And in the end, I sat there for another 4 hours, sitting around, just waiting, and I ended up getting these results. And we were able to fly, so we... At 9:30 at night, yeah, so I got the results. And then we were able to get on the plane, and the plane was empty. That's like this whole section here was empty. So, and then we spread out as soon as we were allowed to. Excuse me. Business class was full though. But we were allowed to stack around. One thing I didn't say, so this is our hotel room back in Australia. The kids all lined up on the edge. And one thing I didn't say is on the morning that we were leaving from Africa, Zahara was patting the dog that was at the guest house we were at and got bitten on the face. So while we were, when we got back to Australia, she's had her rabies shot, but they didn't know whether the dog had a rabies shot. So anyway, they decided that we needed to go to the hospital and get 3 injections, and so they took us along. But thankfully, we have got back and we celebrated, and Shanae makes me point out on this one that the theme of her party was... op shop worst clothes. So I reckon she comes off pretty trendy. So we got back, we were able to celebrate Shanae's birthday. We've been able to celebrate Well, here is this is also Op Shop Worth Clothes, and our son-in-law Roo, which we haven't introduced you all to. So he looks scary, but we're wondering what the future holds now. So we're looking, and we don't know. We plan on going back in August, but with COVID, with everything that's happening, we don't know. That is still our plan. This is my Op Shop clothes, by the way, and Tanya's. I think she got them from the cupboard. But so we're really wondering what the future looks like. We are putting out the fleece like Gideon did. We're just really seeking God, and we want to know his direction for us. We want to know where he wants us. We know that God can do the work without us. We know that we don't have to be one of the 300 in the story of Gideon, that God can use anyone in that position. But we just want to know. We want to be where God wants us. And in the story of Gideon, does anyone know what happens at the end of his life? He collects gold earrings from all the people. He collects them and he makes a statue or a thing, and all the people prostitute themselves to this. We don't want that to be the end of our story. We don't want to be comfortable in wealth in any situation. And I actually think it's a message for Australians. Don't be comfortable with wealth. The first two things that I went to when I got back were both kind of missions orientated, and they said, just remember the poor. And they said, and they were talking about, particularly about farmers, and they were saying that the farmers left 10% for the poor. They gave the first 10% of their tithings to away, but they left 10%, and that's where Ruth came and she cleaned. And she got that, and that ended up being in the story of our Saviour, our Lord and Saviour. So I just think, don't get comfortable in our wealth. Let's keep moving forward. Let's keep striving. Let's keep remembering that it's not us, that it's actually God that does the work, that it's him with us is the only way we can do it. And let's keep seeking him. Let's not get comfortable with our wealth. Let's keep looking to the future. Let's keep throwing our fleece and saying, God, where are you driving us? Where are you taking us? Let's not be the scared little people that are scared to talk at the front of the church, but let us be the people that are mighty warriors as God sees us and driving forward. Next weekend, we've got a wedding celebration. Here is, I just have to put this shot in because it's my little grandchild, my grandson. 3 weekends' time, yep. So we don't know what the future holds. We do know that we love this little boy and would love to see him for a while, but we're also planning on heading back. And the fleece is out for us. And I believe everyone should be seeking to see what God is doing in their lives. We want to keep changing. We want to see God keep changing lives in Mozambique. This is a traditional field of maize. It doesn't produce very much. Here you see alegria, traditional in the front, alegria's crop in the top. Alegria means joy. That's her name. It used to be miseria, misery, and lives are being changed. And we want to see God continue to change lives, whether we believe we're still part of that. These people here never grew vegetables before. We're seeing fruits spiritually and with vegetables and crops. God is working. Just really want to thank you for your support. Our fleece now is out there. We actually don't have the support to get back. We're gone down a long way in the last term, and we're trusting God. That's our fleece. We've put it out there. At this stage, I'm not telling people even how much that is, but we're trusting God that he can provide if we're meant to go back. And I know he can. He can provide abundantly more. So thank you for sharing with us. Please remember that you are not the scared little boys or farmer boys as I was, but you are people that has got God with them, because he says, I will be with you until the end of the age. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God of miracles. You are a God that can work even when we think it's impossible. Whether the odds be 1 to 400 or whatever the odds, insurmountable. Lord, you are the God of the impossible. You are the God of the miracle. Lord, I just pray that you will continue to work. I pray for Mozambique. Lord, I thank you for the way that this church has partnered with us. I thank you for the way that they've been awesome in our struggles, in our breakdown, in our break-in, and just supporting us. Lord, we just pray that you will bless them now. And Lord, bring them, help them to acknowledge that it's only because of you. Lord, we just thank you for everyone here today and just pray your blessing will be on them. In Jesus' name, amen.